Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishnam Chitat Prab. Krishnam Chitat Prabhavagya.
Krishnam Chitat Prabhavagya.
Asinam Jagad Isharam.
Asinam Jagad Isharam.
Hridistam Pujayam Asa.
Hridistam Pujayam Asa.
Mayayopata Vigraham.
Mayayopata Vigraham.
Krishnam Chatat Prabhavagya.
Krishnam Chatat Prabhavagya.
Asinam Jagadishwaram.
Asinam Jagadishwaram.
Vidistam Pujayam Asa.
Vidistam Pujayam Asa.
Mayayopata Vigraham.
Mayayopata Vigraham.
Krishnam.
Krishnam.
Unto Lord Krishna.
Unto Lord Krishna.
Cha. Also.
Also.
Tat.
Of him.
Prabhavagya.
Prabhavagya.
The knower of the glories.
The knower of the glories.
Asinam.
Asinam.
Sitting.
Sitting.
Jagad Isharam.
Jagad Isharam.
Lord of the universe.
Lord of the universe.
Hridistham.
Hridistham.
Situated in the heart.
Situated in the heart.
Pujayam Asa.
Pujayam Asa.
Worshipped.
Worshipped.
Mayaya.
Mayaya.
By internal potency.
By internal potency.
Upata.
Upata.
Manifested.
Manifested.
Vigraham.
Vigraham.
A form. Translation, Lord Sri Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, yet he manifests his transcendental form by his internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Dev. And since Bhishma Dev knew of his glories, he worshipped him duly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's omnipotency is displayed by his simultaneous presence in every place. He is present always in his eternal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, and still he is present in everyone's heart, and even within every invisible atom. When he manifests his eternal transcendental form in the material world, he does so by his internal potency. The external potency, or material energy, has nothing to do with his eternal form. All these truths were known to Sri Bhishma Dev, who worshipped him accordingly. And Bhishma Dev liked to do that. Oh, I'm also going to read 11 in purport, so that someone can let Rupa know that 12 was on the board for tomorrow. Panduputran upasinan prashraya prema sangatan abhyacha tanu Raghashrayar Abhi Bhutena Chakshusha. Translation. The sons of Maharaj Pandu were sitting silently nearby, overtaken with affection for their dying grandfather. Seeing this, Grandfather Bhishma congratulated them with feeling. There were tears of ecstasy in his eyes, for he was overwhelmed by love and affection. Doesn't sound like a tyrant. Purport. When Maharaj Pandu died, his sons were all small children, and naturally they were brought up under the affection of elderly members of the royal family, especially by Bhishma Dev. Later on, when the Pandavas were grown up, they were cheated by cunning Duryodhana and company, and Bhishma Dev, although he knew that the Pandavas were innocent and were unnecessarily put into trouble, he could not take the side of the Pandavas for political reasons. At the last stage of his life, when Bhishma Dev saw his most exalted grandsons headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira sitting very gently at his side, the great warrior grandfather could not check his loving tears, which were automatically flowing from his eyes. He remembered the great tribulations suffered by his most pious grandsons. Certainly, he was the most satisfied man because of Yudhisthira's being enthroned in place of Duryodhana, and thus he began to congratulate them. So, tomorrow morning is Bhishma starts speaking. And this is all prelude to that. Several points. The passing of Grandfather Bhishma was such a grand event that all these personalities from the universe came to participate, to give honor to Bhishma Dev, and to bring auspiciousness to the occasion. The Pandavas coming was yet on another level. The Pandavas coming was out of their affection. Bhishma Dev was like their surrogate father, their grandfather, who cared for them like his own children, although he had no children. So one can only imagine the bond of affection. And what to speak, Bhishma Dev being a pure devotee of the Lord, understanding that the Pandavas were the dearmost cousins of the Lord. So, you know, add the transcendental dimension, Arjuna being the dearmost friend of the Lord, the Pandavas eternal associates of the Lord, and Bhishma Dev being a Mahajan. You know, what was that exchange like? Exchange of affection. And yet, Bhishma Dev had to be on the other side. And that's one of those hard to understand things. If Bhishma Dev is all these things, why is he hanging out with Duryodhana? When the chips fell, why did he take the side of the person he knew was a rascal? More than a rascal, criminal, in the guise of a king. And one thought about that whole situation is, as one of the previous verses, Bhishma Dev has this capacity to be able to discern the very fine points of religious duty, because the time of the Pandavas, the previous Yuga, people were ruled by different principles than they're ruled today. At least some of the people were ruled by Dharma. There's a phrase that appears repeatedly in the Bhagavatam, dozens of places, where Dharma is likened to an animal that has a ring in his nose, like a powerful bull, and you can control this big, powerful animal by putting a ring in his nose, and you pull this way, and his nose is so tender, he goes this way. You pull that way, he goes that way. And after some time, just by signals, you can voice signals, you can say gi and ha, you can say the right words, and they'll go left or they'll go right. Just from that, they're controlled by that. And then by sound, by being placed although very powerful and strong, subordinate to another strength. And so the metaphor is, as with the bull, so with those who are religious. They place the ring of religious principles within their nose, or, you know, within that which will control them. And they voluntarily submit to the religious principles. And religious principles, they're codes, they're instructions. Prabhupada's definition, what is religion? It's laws given by God. Religion is laws given by God. And a religious person is one who follows the laws. Just like a government gives laws, and a good citizen is one who follows the laws. They may or may not like the laws, but they follow the laws. And through following the laws, they understand it will lead them somewhere. Besides, you know, in a religious life, it will lead them closer to understanding God. It'll save them a lot of trouble. It'll, like, you know, keep them from getting smacked by the material energy unnecessarily. And it'll accumulate piety, and they'll get those, but the higher principle is it'll help them understand God, bring them closer to God. And it doesn't matter what part of the world, and what religion, under what name. Prabhupada would often describe like that. Whatever, it doesn't, this one, that one. The point is that one should recognize what the laws given by God are and follow them. And therefore, when speaking with other persons of other religions, he didn't say, yours is an inferior one, ours is a superior one, you should take ours because ours is a superior one. He would say, you should follow the laws given in your scripture. Why are you killing? He didn't. So, and stay on it. Till they said, you know, I surrender. You know, if they would get that far. But that was that's the point. So, Bhishma Dev was capable of such discrimination, and Bhishma Dev was bound by, Prabhupada is saying here, by political circumstance. But the political circumstance was that he would have been the next king after Santanu, but he had taken this vow to not marry, and so he's a Kshatriya. Without being married and without being a king, he was then maintained by the royal family. Because he was maintained by the royal family, religious principle says those who are maintained by the royal family must assist the royal family when it comes to conflict. They're obliged. An interesting part of Mahabharata, when Vidura was insulted by Duryodhana in the assembly, a particular part of the Mahabharata that's not always narrated, but when he silently stood up and walked out of the royal assembly, he placed his bow and arrow by the side of the door and kept walking. Because although he was born of a Shudrani and therefore considered in that group, he had capacity. So he would have had to make the same choice that Bhishma had to make, that is, fighting on behalf of Duryodhana, because he too was being maintained by the royal family. And that was a religious duty. And how could Vidura neglect his religious duty? Although he despised the abominations of Duryodhana and would speak it. So, I mean, there's this, people don't operate on this standard these days. It's, you know, the thing is, follow your heart. my heart's filled with lust, anger and greed, delusion, madness, and follow your heart. Those who have studied what people of the world are wanting, there's this resurgence of spiritual interest. And there's two components surveys show that people want from spirituality. They want an experience. And they want something that they can take part in that doesn't have dogma. That's their language is dogma. You know, dogma says religious principles. Control your senses, control your mind, behave in certain standard, you know. They want the kingdom of God without God. That's not a new one. People here want that, don't want a spiritual component in life. They want the kingdom of God without God. They're just in a lower mode of nature. But these people are they would not want to subordinate their will to the codes of Dharma, and even subordinate their, what may be their discretion of right and wrong, to the codes of Dharma. Here Bhishma Dev fought on the side of the Pandavas, on the Kauravas, because it was his duty to do so. And in fact, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita in chapter 1, we find Duryodhan kind of goading Bhishma Dev in different places also. You know, you're not putting your heart into this. I know why. You want the Pandavas to be victorious. What kind of general are you? Because his heart was with the Pandavas and his sense of duty was with religious principle. So he fought. And such a virtuous general that when the Pandavas came with folded palms and said, "Grandfather Bhishma, what can we do to destroy you? You're such a powerful warrior. Oh, I can tell you how you can destroy me." He gave the whole description of the benediction that Amba had gotten, that she could take her birth in her next life and kill. So you put what was a female born now in a male body on the front line. Since I know this is a female, I won't fight. And then she who is now a he will be able to destroy me. That's how you can do it. Anything else you'd like to know? I mean, but you know, he didn't just go to their camp and say, psst. He was an emblem of virtue, and this. But difficult, certainly in our age to understand how can somebody do the things that how could Bhishma fight on behalf of the Kauravas because he was such a virtuous person. How could he, you know, give the secret of how he could be destroyed willingly to the Pandavas? How could he fire arrows at Krishna? So many things. So this chapter is helping us to understand his elevated position. Perfection of religious principles, completely attached to Krishna, and so much appreciating that because he desired to see Krishna at the time of leaving his body, Krishna came. Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees, and Bhishma Dev could understand that about him. He came just for that reason, and he arranged for the Pandavas to come in their full regal paraphernalia, so that he would be satisfied, not just satisfied, in ecstasy, that at last justice Duryodhana is dead, and Maharaj Yudhisthira is the proper king. And here they are. And when they came to the scene on the battlefield where Bhishma Dev was lying, it was deliberately done like that, in royal chariots, in their royal garments, dressed as kings at last. And so he's going to pour out his affection, first in his tears and then his words, for the unjust tribulations the Pandavas had to endure again and again. He knew all the intrigue. As Vidura knew the intrigue, Vidura acted in a certain way. He spoke up. It was because it was Dhritarashtra, his brother. He spoke up. Bhishma Dev also knew the intrigues. And his sympathies went with the Pandavas. So it's very moving scene. And then the words that Bhishma Dev is going to speak are also like very memorable passages. That's why they made it not only in the Mahabharata but also into the Bhagavatam. And he's going to disclose some truths about Krishna that are very wonderful. Okay, any discussion? Yeah.
Maharaj, I once heard in a class that one of the reasons Bhishma Dev was, aside from certain other obligations in terms of service with the Kauravas, one of the reasons he to take their side was he was accepting food, grains, and so forth from the Kauravas.
And therefore his mind was polluted. And
therefore, I think it was Lakshmimoni who was describing like this in class. She didn't say, therefore his mind was polluted, but she used that as a point for, obviously, for argument that only accept grains from the Kauravas.
It's a nectar of instruction about not accepting grains prepared by non-devotees,
yes.
But specifically, it pollutes. No, it pollutes. So we would not say, I would not go out on such a limb, and say that Bhishma Dev was polluted by eating. You know, I wouldn't care to say that. He was compromised by religious principle. And he was in... Yeah. There's a deeper, much deeper principle. The much deeper principle is he had... His principal rasa was dasya, but he also had chivalrous rasa, and the chivalrous rasa was fulfilled, which meant that Krishna was pleased when he took the opposite side. He could fight against Krishna. And that was satisfying to Krishna. And so the dramatic events had to be such that he was on the other side of Krishna. And Krishna is going to be on the side of the Pandavas. So, eating grains has its implications, and I don't know if we can...
Yes, the reason I asked, it seemed like a bit of a stretch.
Well, it demeans, you know, Prahlad Maharaj can eat poison. Yeah.
I didn't understand why Vidura did not fight in the problem.
Because when he was insulted, he left. He left. And he left his bow and arrow symbolically. With great relief, Krishna is very kind. He's relieved me of having to make this decision. Yeah. Well, Krishna had come for, you know, the last piece and offer, and Duryodhan said no. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
All right.